Lord Jesus, I pray that you shine your light on us this morning. Lord, I know you're here. Holy Spirit, we sense your presence amongst us. This morning as I speak, Lord, for each person, may you just reveal that one thing, the thing that they really need to hear this morning, the new revelation, the new understanding of you. And Lord, we ask that you bless this time and may it be fruitful to all who hear, in Jesus' name. Amen. What's our theme for this year? Be the light. So as I was praying about this weekend, God just gave me, how many words was it? 5 words. And I thought, hey, I know those 5 words. Actually, it's 7 words. I am the light of the world. Anyone heard that before? Where is it? It's in the Bible. Well done. I'll give you a hint. It's in the book of John, chapter 8, and we're going to look at verses 12 to 20, or 12 to 19, 20s. Because of the way we break up the Bible, it's in that section, but it's not that relevant. John 8, verses 12 to 19. What you'll find about this, yeah, God gave me that little bit of scripture that we all know, and I'm like, cool. Anything else? You went, nope. I am the light of the world. Go dig into that. So we're going to go dig into that. How does that sound? Going to start by reading it. You got it all for us, Pete? Awesome, thank you. Jesus spoke to the people. Sorry, I'm reading from New Living. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. The Pharisees replied, you are making those claims about yourself. Such testimony is not valid. Jesus told them, these claims are valid even though I make them about myself, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know this about me. You judge me by human standards. But I do not judge anyone. And if I did, my judgment would be correct in every respect because I am not alone. The Father who sent me is with me. Your own law says that if two people agree about something, their witness is accepted as fact. I am one witness and my Father is the who sent me is the other. Where is your Father? They say. Jesus answered, since you do not know who I am, you do not know who my Father is. For if you knew me, you would also know my Father. What I found most interesting about this was that Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and then the whole conversation changed. Did you notice that? The Pharisees didn't actually, they were trying to find a legal basis on which to dispute his claim. Does anyone know what the legal basis? Jesus actually mentions it himself. The legal basis in the law was that if you wanted to prove something in court, you had to have at least two other witnesses. So they're saying, hey, Jesus, you don't have other witnesses of this, therefore you can't claim that. We'll dig into that a little bit later on. What did Jesus say about the light? He was the light. Was it something he did? No. He is. It wasn't something he said. He claimed that he was the light. Therefore, it is an inherent attribute of who he is. I would actually contend it is an inherent attribute of the entire Trinity. The heart of the real heart of the matter here when he starts talking with the Pharisees wasn't his claim to be the light. it turned into more of a discussion about whether he could prove it or whose standard by which he was judging things. In verse 15, he actually questions the standard by which they judge. Is human law fallible? Absolutely. Go to the next one for me, Pete. Verse 16. Do you see that? I do. But he said, look, I'm not judging here. This wasn't the point of what I was doing here. And I'll come to the relevance of that in a second. And you'll see why he said that. But he said, my decisions are right. So whose standard was he judging on? He was judging on a heavenly standard. And he was very much, I stand with the Father. So it's a heavenly standard, not a human standard. It's a very, very different way of judging things. I would contend that throughout human history, and it's still true today, most people have tried to judge God based on a human standard. Did we all agree that human standards were fallible, that we make mistakes? So, apart from Peter, the rest of us judge on a human standard. It is inherently fallible. It is not infallible. It is something that is open to our own interpretations, our own desires, everything else like that. So what I do find very, very ironic about this is that the Pharisees were teachers of the law. The Sadducees were more pure lawyers, but these guys are like legal educators, and they spent their life judging people. And in fact, Jesus spent a lot of time disagreeing with their statements and their method of judgment. He wasn't exactly polite with the Pharisees, was he? He was fairly blunt with them. When you call someone a whitewashed tomb, that's a pretty blunt judgment of them. So why did the Pharisees pick on this particular statement about I am the light? What was it that irked them? There's actually three things, I think, that really, really got their goat, if you like. Number one, he said, I am. Who else is famous for saying I am? Yahweh. So he basically said, I'm God, when he said, I am the light. That probably upset them, knowing the Pharisees. Every time he sort of said something like that, it upset them. Number two, if you look at verse 12, scroll back to it. I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Is that a fairly exclusive statement? It is, isn't it? He's claiming to be Yahweh, to be the Father of lights. Again, another reason to not be terribly impressed with that. Who did they believe was the carrier of the light now in the Jewish community? What was the standard by which everything was to be judged? The law. And who were the carriers and the arbitrators of the law in that society? The Pharisees. So what was Jesus saying about the Pharisees? You're out of a job, guys. I am the light of the world. Can you understand why that might have upset them a little bit? Here's an interesting one. Go back to John chapter 8, verse 1. It's actually 1 through 3. I'll read it. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. What were they trying to do? They were trying to trap him. Did he fall for it? Did he judge her? No. Really interesting that he didn't judge her. In fact, if you go right to the end, once all the accusers had disappeared, in verse 10, Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Did even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I," but he put a caveat on it. "Go and sin no more." So he didn't judge her, but he also told her, stop it. So we have out of one tiny little statement, "I am the light of the world," we have all this stuff around judgment and who has the right to judge, and who is the arbiter of the law. From one little statement about light. Isn't it fascinating? So that led me to ask myself a question. Why? Why does a simple statement about light, in the context of all this judgment, why did Jesus put it in there? Why put this statement in the middle of this whole section where he's dealing with the woman with it caught in adultery and then has this whole discussion with the Pharisees? Why did he put this in there? So it got me asking a question. What does light do in context of judgment? Ooh, it exposes things, doesn't it? Has anyone noticed that sin generally likes to hide in darkness? So many things happen at night that probably shouldn't happen. If you remember right at the beginning of chapter 8, he went to the Mount of Olives and he came back the next morning to the temple and was preaching in the temple. So the Pharisees caught this woman in adultery. When did that happen? We don't know. Doesn't say. But they use the opportunity the next morning in the light of day to expose the sin. Now, I don't for a second believe they were doing it for the goodness of, you know, her or Jesus or anyone else. They were doing it for their own ends. That was pretty obvious. They made that pretty obvious. But the light, they had to do it in the light. A Jewish trial, by the way, always had to be conducted during the day. And interestingly enough, when they brought Jesus to Caiaphas before his crucifixion, when did it happen? At night. It was actually an illegal trial. A trial always had to happen in the daytime. There are about 22 points of Jesus' crucifixion that were illegal under Jewish law. Jesus, in this particular case with the woman caught in adultery, didn't shine the light on it, did he? Someone else decided to shine a light on the sin. But Jesus dealt with that woman incredibly mercifully under the law and also incredibly tenderly. Because apart from being stoned, which is very bad for your health, generally results in you being dead, even if she hadn't been stoned, what would her social standing have been like in that community? She would have been outcast. She would have just been, yeah, and that could be a very low, slow, painful death sentence. So how do we draw this as a parallel to our life? Can I suggest that Jesus wants to shine light on things? In fact, I would suggest by him making the statement that he is the light of the world, it is one of his primary jobs to shine light on things. But if we look at the way he dealt with the woman caught in adultery, he does it in tenderness and love, always. Have a look at verse 16 again, please, Peter. But if I do judge, my decisions are right, because I am not alone. Now, the Father who sent me. The thing about it is, if both the Father and him are light, and they shine a true light on every situation, without any shadow of falsehood in it, can they make righteous judgments? Because I think a lot of what happens in our human standard when we don't make righteous judgments is because something is hidden or falsified or not disclosed. But the Father and the Son, they see everything. They expose light on everything. Does that terrify anyone here? That God literally sees everything that's going on in your life? Sorry? It could be very ugly, couldn't it? And humbling. Ooh, responsibility, accountability. Hard words. So nothing's hidden from him. Yet if we look at the way he dealt with the woman caught in adultery, he does it in loving kindness. Being the light of the world and being able to shine your light on anything and everything is an incredibly powerful thing to hold. And I'm really, really glad it's him and the Father who hold us.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Over and over and over again.
Yep. To see everything that's going on this planet all the time. Just, it's mind blowing, isn't it? Yeah, we just can't comprehend it. It's so amazing. Can I suggest that? Sorry, just let me have a cough. When God chooses to shine his light on a situation in our lives, he actually usually, in my belief, gives us a choice about what we do with it. Thank you. Marjorie highlighted it before. Are we going to take responsibility and accountability for what he's showing us? He will do it in love. I have generally found when he shines a light on something and then you don't take accountability for it, you don't deal with it, what does he do? Yeah, he does. But if you don't accept it, he'll actually go, okay, that's fine. He puts it down. Does that mean it's gone? No. That's right. He says, that's fine. Not now. It's cool. I've got years. He'll bring it back at the right time again, and he will put it there and then remind us what we didn't do last time and say, do you want to deal with this now? We can fear the light, and I suspect there's a lot of people in the world who fear God's light for what it's going to expose. I don't fear it in that sense, but I am in awe of it. And that awe is because of the fact that he has my best in mind when he exposes it. So the best thing I can do is listen. So to make it very personal, I am the light of the world can be very, very challenging for each one of us, but also incredibly refining if we let him show us something. I've always found that he always, always leads you into the right answer. He leads you to where he needs you to be. Is it always comfortable? No. Sorry. I don't think Jesus ever promised us a comfortable life following him. But it is fulfilling and it is incredibly enriching in our own lives. That's really what I wanted to say this morning. So I suppose my challenge to each one of us this morning is, I am the light of the world. It's a simple little statement, but boy, it means a lot. And it is an amazing challenge to each one of us. Will we let him shine his light in our lives? So I'm just going to pray as we close. Lord Jesus, this week, shine something in each one of our lives that you want us to look at. And Lord, may we have the courage and the faith and the trust in you to sit with that, to process it, to commune with you on it, and to take the first step, whatever that may be, towards addressing whatever it is you're shining a light on our lives. Lord, I thank you that you shine your light across this world. There is no place of darkness for you. There is no hidden thing that you cannot see. And Lord, I know that you are, with that knowledge, you are conducting, you're sovereign over the arc of history in a way we can't possibly understand. Lord, may we trust you. Each day, each step, whether it's in the very small personal things or the large things that are happening half a world away that affect each one of us. Lord, may we trust you and may you shine your light into our hearts, those in our families, our extended friend groups, our work colleagues. And Lord, when you shine your light in our hearts, may we reflect it out again and let your light shine to others around us. Be with us this week as we go. Commune with us, talk with us, walk with us each day in each way. Whatever you know that we need in each situation. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.